Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. All right, Saints, in this message, I want to talk about the workman being worthy of his hire. That's biblical terminology. Are we muzzling God's work, or are we fueling or furthering it? After doing ministry among the people, Jesus instructed us, his people, to pray to the Father, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9:37-38, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9:37-38. So Jesus instructed us to be in prayer on a regular basis that God would send forth his workers into his harvest. That transitions us also into our personal responsibility to do our part in supporting those laborers. You see, when God calls a man out, he ordains him to be set apart. There is the clear, crystal clear case for full-time ministry and ministers. The apostle says we must give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts chapter 6, verse 4, I believe it is. So they are to be compensated according to scripture so that they can sustain a household. And in order to continue, one of the reasons is in order to continue to do the work of Christ, which is the infinitely most important and only eternal work in the earth. I believe we need to talk about this topic a little bit more, Saints, not only from, let's say, two things. From my observation, we almost never hear it spoken about. And I got to tell you, we have no excuse not to preach it, because it's all over the Word of God, Old and New Testament, stewardship, that is. I got to tell you, as a man, I'm not going to justify us not teaching enough on this topic, because that's just the biblical truth. We need to disclose and endeavor to disclose the full counsel of God's word. But also, I can see where men that are in ministry don't want to talk about this very often. It can be very hurtful. There are so many ministers, and I say so many ministers, the good ones, if you will, are in quiet desperation many times. You may never know it unless you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And really, that's important. Obviously being led by the Spirit, but also most of all just obeying God, whether you sense anything or not, and giving perhaps the first fruits of all your increase into the work of the Lord. And by to do that, you fuel those who is called out to do his work full time. That's Proverbs 3:9-10, about giving your first fruits. That's a great principle to follow. No, I'm not teaching tithing. The New Testament does not overtly teach tithing, just 10%. Perhaps, as someone has said, everything belongs to God under the new covenant, not just 10%. Proverbs 3:9-10, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Here's the promise of God. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So God promises reciprocity and eternal rewards as we obey him in this regard. And you know, we should ask ourselves, since when is feeding Christ's flock the only unpaid or low-paid calling on the earth? I mean, after all, is that what we really think of Christ and his work? Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it or not done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it or not done it unto me. If we're not doing what God's called us to do in this regard, we're not doing this to Jesus. This isn't about man. This is about God. These things are stated by God himself. Is that how we are going to treat the Son of God? We must ask ourselves, is that God's will? No, absolutely not. And we're going to see that here as we read a passage in 1 Corinthians 9 in just a moment. And per this passage in 1 Corinthians 9, 1 through 14, it's the biblical case, or one of the many places, that it makes a strong case biblically for Christ's servants to be compensated. And among other things, what we're going to see there is that, number one, God ordained that his laborers, those that he calls forth, they didn't call themselves. They answered the call of God. And as my first pastor used to say years ago, and this was a good pastor, he said, if you're in ministry and you have not wanted to bail out or just quit, you haven't been very far yet. And I got to tell you, those words ring very true to me personally, and I know to many that are listening who are in ministry. Number one, God ordained that his laborers be supported by those fed by those ministries, according to Galatians 6:6. You're to fuel those who feed you. And 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18 tell us that those who labor, that is the elders of Christ, in the word and doctrine, are to be thought worthy of double honor. Now, what is double honor? That is a measuring, a rule of measure. Isn't God wonderful and all wise, as his word says he is, where he didn't say a certain monetary amount, because that varies in time and in locale. But double honor, let's say it this way, single honor, and you can research this yourself, means the average amount earned by the average worker across the board in any time and place. The average person, for example, right now in America makes $40,000 a year. So double honor would mean double that. Now, I didn't say that, nor do I personally expect that. I don't think most ministers do. They just kind of like to get along and make it. But anyway, that's exactly what it means, and I'm not going to sacrifice or change or diminish aught from that. You can look that up yourself in 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18, double honor. Number two, one of the things we're going to find out is that the 11 tribes of Israel financially supported, they were commanded by God to financially support the ministry tribe of the Levites, the priests, the Levitical priest and priesthood were to be, that's one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they were to be supported by the other 11 tribes. And Numbers 18, beginning in verse 21 till the end, 21 through 32, again, Numbers 18, and Paul pulls in this passage into 1 Corinthians chapter 9 when he talks about not muzzling the mouth of the ox and providing for those God's called out to do full-time ministry. Being that they are doing full-time ministry as called out by the Lord, not themselves, they can't possibly be out there working a secular job and earning money. In fact, in this Numbers 18 passage, he says the Levites have no inheritance. They don't have any savings. They don't have any retirement or anything like that. And I'm sure there's some wisdom and instructions of God on that. I don't remember, but you could look that up. Number three, Christ's elders, servant elders, are worthy of their hire in doing the infinitely most important and only eternal work in the earth, as we mentioned earlier. Number four, they must be able to sustain a household, a family, etc. And as we're going to see in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says in the middle of that concern, right in the middle, in the context of ministers of Christ being worthy of their hire and to be compensated, Paul said, do we not have the power to lead about a wife? In other words, you got to have money to take care of your wife and family. Of all people, saints, if we have the mind of Christ, we're going to make sure that those who tread out the corn, as the Bible says, like a good ox, constantly working on feeding the sheep, laboring in the word and doctrine, quote unquote, 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18, we're going to make sure they're fueled and taken care of. Don't ask them if they have a need. Just continue to support them. So let me just say that. I can tell you, anybody that's endeavoring to preach the whole counsel of God is not well supported. I mean, I don't know. Nobody comes to mind that I know that's laboring to fully disclose, honestly, and with no fear of man, the whole contents of Scripture. Not well supported. So you don't have to pray about it. You don't have to ask them. Just fuel them, saints. Just feed them. God's going to see it. And by the way, when you give, you're doing no one a favor except yourself. And you're laying up treasure in heaven, and you're keeping covenant covetousness and greed and worldliness at bay, away from you. In fact, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there, wherever you're putting your treasure, will your heart be also. Now, how can we say we love Jesus and we spend all of our time, energy, and talents and treasures in this fleeting world on everything except the work of Christ and putting it into the kingdom of Christ, where his sheep are to be fed and nourished and comforted, exhorted, admonished, rebuked, taught the word, equipped, etc. Those are all biblical actions that are being done when the servant elders of Christ are allowed to and being fueled and funded to be able to do what God's called them to do. And I can tell you, as my pastor said, I've been there many times wanting to hit the eject button and having big arguments with God. I can tell you that I have been there. I've lived there for the most of the last 10 years. You have no idea, and thank God you don't, of the frustration of not being able to do little things to get more ministry material out to the people. In fact, right now, before we continue, as an example of that, I got a guy that I'm actually working with over the last day or two who is an audio engineer, and he'd been very kind, by the way. We've been dialoguing, and he took a sampling of the book Raised Up. That's one of the books on the cross. You guys are familiar with it. Many of you have read it. It's an incredible book on the cross, the raised up life. And anyway, he did a sample remastering of one of the chapters. There's 10 files and one for each chapter. And he was able to increase the quality. These files will be able to be uploaded as a book onto Audible, which is a component of Amazon KDP. Amazon would pretty much stand for the or cover the print books, then KDP, the Kindle format, and then also there's Audible. And so we've been trying to get our first book on Audible for a while, because as has always been the case with this outreach, we are trying to cover every base to put scripture-rich, Christ-centered materials, which all of our materials are, as far and wide in every place people can buy and are looking through print books or Kindle to read a book. There's a lot of insatiable readers in this world, and that is such a blessing. And also, audiobooks are just on the screaming uptrend. In fact, almost all of the accolades we get are from people who are listening to our podcast. So people are on the go. They love listening. They're not able to sit down and read a lot of times. And we want to be there for them with materials that are going to fill their hearts with the Word of God and quicken them in the holy fear of God to repent and to be holy as Christ is holy and to walk with Him in an abiding oneness relationship with Him, hearing the voice of the great shepherd and walking with Him. But so anyway, working with this guy, and just as a little sample here, in case you guys think or anybody out there is under the delusion that because a ministry has a mega website and has books on it that they've got all kinds of money, let me just dispel that real quick for you. And this is not a complaint at all, but I'm just giving you a little example. This guy needs a whole $49 to do this work so that we can get a cross book, a book teaching the cross of Christ, onto a mega platform called Audible. And then another guy who's been working with us for years with the books is going to actually upload everything to Audible. That's going to cost $20. It's going to cost a total of under $100. And dare I tell you that the ministry doesn't have that to give to this guy? I mean, what's that say about the testimony of God's people and how much they care or don't care about his work being done? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm going to leave that as a rhetorical question. But if it wasn't so pitiful, it would be absolutely, I don't know what to do sometimes. It's laughable. I mean, if you're in the ministry, you have job security. Every one of you that's in the full-time ministry knows exactly what I'm talking about. You're up like me last night till 1 o'clock doing a recording because you couldn't sleep. God was quickening you to do this. And the work and labor of study and ministering locally and working on a website, it's not even definable how much work that is on the back end. And for a ministry that reaches tens of thousands of people a month with hundreds of thousands of the pages on this website, Safeguard Yourself. Bible being read and accessed and listened to and with everything we've got on it. And we've got like 10 people supporting the ministry. I'm not complaining. I'm just kind of telling you the reality of things here, saints, and asking you that if you don't mind, please pray that God's people will repent and start being good stewards of his resources, because we're all going to give account before him. Jesus' 16 of his 38 parables were on stewardship. So that is not a big, but a mega huge doctrine and teaching in the Word of God. Almost half of his parables were on stewardship. Incredible. But again, don't pity us. Pity those who don't give to the work of the ministry, who just sit there. They don't give $10 a month. I'm not watching what anybody's giving, by the way. I'm just telling you from experience on both sides of this that don't pity the ministers who are lacking. No, pity those who sit there and do nothing. When the Bible says in Galatians 6:6 that we are to fuel, we're to communicate, that means to give to and support those who are feeding us. Number five, let's bounce back here. But anyway, that was just a little example there that we need right now. We need less than $100. I'm not even going to go into all the detail of that's just one little thing, guys. And I got to tell you, I got discouraged. Really, not really anymore because I'm so used to it, but it hurts. It hurts to see that so few people, this shouldn't even have to be said. My God, why should this ever have? Why should any ministry that's doing the work of Christ ever have to put out some gimmick or plea for people to actually do what they should have already done in obedience to God? That money should already be there. So boom, 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 you can roll forward and get the gospel out to as many people as possible. I think we still have an article on the ministry site, Safeguard Your Soul, about the hindrance. The greatest hindrance to the gospel is the refusal of those who name the name of Christ to support the workers of Christ that he has sent to full-time do his work. And let me say it again, and I can't say it enough. There is no work in the earth transpiring. None. Zero. That has any eternal value except that of the gospel. And the work you do is important, whatever that may be. And the most important thing about it is that it gives you seed to be able to give, right? Let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, let him work. Why? That he may have to give. The principal hindrance of the gospel by a man named O.S. Hawkins. Just look up the word hindrance. Very interesting. Very interesting. He said this. I'll just read one little piece of this. The principal hindrance to the advancement of the kingdom of God is greed. It is the chief obstacle to heaven-sent revival. It seems that when the back of greed is broken, the human spirit soars into regions of unselfishness. I believe that it is safe to say there can be no continuous revival without hilarious, that means cheerful, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, hilarious or cheerful giving. See, not coerced by men, but out of your own heart, joyfully saying, Jesus, thank you for putting this money into my hands, into my family's hands. Now, we're going to take the first portion of it, however you want to do that. The Bible talks about first fruits, as we read earlier in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. It's always best, in my estimation, to put, as far as time and talents and treasure, to put God first. Otherwise, it doesn't get done. Anybody else ever notice that? Oh, I'll get around to praying late and reading the Bible later. Ain't going to happen, right? We'll give God a tip later out of this money that we got in our hands that we just got in. But if you give it to him first, you're going to have a clear conscience and be able to enjoy the rest of it a lot better. I know many of you know that better than I do. So he continues, he finishes, Mr. O.S. Hawkins, pastor. He says, and I fear no contradiction. Wherever there is hilarious giving, there will soon be revival. And you can read that. Just look up the word hindrance. So, all right, number five, finally, the fifth point of the, just some points, just not all, but some of the points out of 1 Corinthians 9. We do much harm, number five, to the work of the kingdom of Christ when we do not participate in taking out of what God gives us and supporting those men who have answered the call of God to feed his flock. Okay, this is the flock that Jesus bled to die to purchase. Do you think they're important to him? The Bible says they're the apple of his eye. They are the precious fruit of the earth. What a term of endearment we see there in James chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. Also, in these terms, again, he said, we're the apple of his eye. I believe it's Deuteronomy 32, also 1 Peter 2, 9. And I'm just saying a few verses real quick here, sprinkling these in to make, let us be reminded of how special God's people are. This isn't about the laborers. This is about Jesus, folks, and him nourishing and continuing to keep within his fold those that have been saved. They have to be tended to. We are the sheep of his pasture. Scripture paints that illustration all the way through. And sheep have to be tended to. They have to be guided and kept safe from the wolves. Boy, don't you know, we deal with that on the website and in this ministry. You know, we got two books on that topic. Every book hits that topic, but deceivers and false prophets, predators on our pulpits, and discernment so that they have eyes to see from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit as they walk with Jesus. So that's, you know, again, sheep need a shepherd to help them feed on healthy nutrients. And again, protect them from the elements, from the cold, and from the wolves and the lions that would devour them. That represents Satan and his false prophets. All right, 1 Peter 2:9, but ye, that's you, saints, ye and all the saints of Christ the world over, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That means a special people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. On that note, too, Paul said that he did three things to prepare the body of Christ for the return of Christ, to be ready for it. And that's to preach, warn, and teach. And like the apostles in Acts 6:4, that happens. That's what God's men do when they're called out of God and are able to give themselves continually. That's full-time ministry to prayer and to the ministry of the Word of God. I could tell you what, I've done it both ways. Some of you are still in that season where you're doing secular work and ministry, and I definitely understand that. I did that for many years myself, to where it came to where there's no way. I mean, I can remember way back in the 80s, the late 80s, you know, I was made called to write. You know, I'm not that great at it necessarily, but to write and to put scripture together. So I'd write all these tracks. I mean, I think we had 20 or 30 tracks, track titles, and then do the clip art. You know, we didn't have computers. They were just starting back then. But anyway, so, and I did have a PC, a personal computer, but worked, contracted to NASA at one of the NASA facilities, etc. So in the high-tech world. But anyway, so I would also, we got the money together from the body of Christ. We got a printing press. I learned how to print. You know, we'd buy paper reams, a whole box of them, and we'd print these tracks, man. We probably to date put out, I don't know, a million and a half tracks. In fact, the Jesus track is still out there. Other ministries use it. It's been all over the world, etc. So anyway, I'm saying that to say that, I don't know, maybe I'm just sharing that, but I forgot where I'm going with that. But, you know, we would write the tracks, design them, do the clip art, lay them out, work with the local printer who was a Christian, and print them. Oh, this is what I was going to do with that. Look, we would print them. I mean, I'd be up till 1 or 2 at night. I loved what I was doing, but it was full-time work. And then also printing all night long, because we would go to the concerts, and a bunch of us, sometimes we had over 20 people. Man, we'd have thousands of tracks, and when the people were coming out of those rock concerts, we'd be there to hand them a gospel track. And some of those kids were getting saved. They were saying, man, give us more of these tracks. We'd give them all kinds of these tracks, and then they would take them to school, and then the Satanists were attacking me because the gospel was spreading like wildfire. I'm saying that to say this, it gets to the point where you just got to say, and somebody probably needs to hear this, you got to just get in private with God and maybe with your wife, pray together and say, Lord, this is getting consuming. We got a family. We want to be used of you. I know several of you guys, we've been praying together, you and I and other believers, that God would open the door for you to do more ministry. If you love Jesus, you know, and he's got a calling on your life, that's going to happen. And you're not going to be comfortable till you brought into that place, but you got to navigate it in between and walk in God's wisdom and temperance and all that. So it came to the point where I just had to say, God, you're going to have to provide for this. Because of course I didn't have to tell him this, but it was kind of a discussion I was having with him, that it came can't do both. There's just not enough hours in the day, Lord. Anyway, so it came to the point of being in full time. And it's a blessing to know that you got other believers that are fueling that. They stand in agreement with God and with you, you and them, us saints, shoulder to shoulder, hands up, worshiping our King, that his word will go forth to the people. I don't know, maybe we all need to shake ourselves and go on a fast and cry out to God for him to break us to the core of our being, because this world is getting so dark and so wicked. And Jesus told us in Matthew 24 that it's going to get so bad that if he didn't shorten the time, nobody was going to be saved. I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know how to put that into words, but I believe you know exactly what I'm talking about. Let's keep going. There's so much to be said. The written text on this message has much more than we're going to cover now in this podcast. And by the way, I just want to tell you, I love you, every one of you. And that it's such a blessing to be able to communicate. I don't like showing my face, so I don't want to do biblical stuff. I mean, not biblical, but YouTube stuff. I'd rather just do podcasts, but it's such a blessing for us to be able to come together in some format or the other, since we're all over the face of the earth. Millions are in hell this moment, where they will spend forever, eternity, due to the greed of God's people who aren't funding his work, per se. They aren't funding his work, and they're withholding the corn. Listen to this. We're going to just read a little bit more, and then we're going to go ahead and read the main text I've been referring to, and then we're going to go ahead and close this message. There's just so much on this topic. It's incredible. We do have a stewardship category, saints. We also have one titled giving. You know, there is that scatter, Proverbs 11, 24 through 26, and yet increases. Wait a minute. He's throwing his money or his seeds out there. God uses the agricultural illustration throughout Scripture. Jesus taught the parable of the seed of the Word of God and the different soils that it falls on, because a parable is a heavenly truth. Let's turn that back around. Hold on. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story so that we can understand it. All right, there is that scattereth and yet increase. He's talking about your seed. By the way, seed sowing is Bible. It's not word of faith. The way they pervert it is by saying, if you sow this seed, God's going to give you $1 million. You're never going to hear that here. And if you do, gentlemen, I need you to rebuke me into the ground 6 feet under. You're not going to hear that here. But it doesn't negate the fact that seed sowing in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11, he's talking about that in respect to giving. And that's what he's talking about here. There is that scattereth and yet increases. How does that happen? Because when you plant seed, you get a crop, right? And I didn't say or even hint that all your crop's going to come in this world. Most of it's going to come in the next. But I'm not going to sit here and diminish aught from the Word of God. God promises, when Paul wrote that God is going to supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, he was talking to the Philippians who gave to him so he could do the gospel. There was a condition there, guys. There's always a condition for God's blessing. And that means it's an opportunity for us to participate. When you've got an elder in your life, somebody that's feeding you the Word of God, dude, that is our opportunity we ought to be praising God for, because that's a place. It's kind of like a farmer that has no ground, no piece of ground to go sow his seed in. And then all of a sudden, the neighbor next door sells him this big piece of land. Now he's rejoicing because now he's got somewhere to put his seed. Same thing with the kingdom. Do you have a place to put your seed? Make sure it's in good, fertile ground. You're not going to find perfect people nowhere. But if they're endeavoring to give the Word of God out there, teaching and preaching and warning, Colossians 1:28, and endeavoring to disclose the whole counsel of God's Word and not dodging out certain hard truths, as we call them, like the cross and hell and judgment and holiness and the return of Christ and being ready, support them, guys. Support them. Do what God said to do. He's watching you. The Bible says Jesus sat over against the treasury. I believe it's the end of Mark 12. He watched how people gave. Go look at that. In fact, feel free to listen to the podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com. Just put in the word treasury or Jesus sat. Yeah, Jesus came among the believers. And where did he sit? What? Yeah, where did he sit and why? He sat by where the people gave so he could watch how much they're giving and how they're giving. Two things to remember about God. God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give out of coercion. Give because you love Jesus as an act of worship. Otherwise, don't even bother. So, and remember, you're giving it to God. You're not giving it to man. So his word can go further into people's hearts and to more people. So he looks at the state of your heart, and he also looks at the percentage. I don't care if we like that or not. He does. And let me just jump in here and say this, because you know I'm liable to say anything, right? There are people probably that listen to and are fed by this ministry who go to bed with thousands or tens of thousands or even millions in the bank. Now you tell me how that person can be led of the Spirit and walking with Jesus and they don't do nothing to support his work. Somebody might say, well, they support other men. Yeah, and they got millions in the bank that they could help this one too, but they don't. Am I bothered by that? Well, for their own sake, yes, I am. You tell me after reading Luke 12 and Luke 16 if they're going to go to heaven or hell. I got my conclusion. It's pretty clear, and it's not good. Don't you dare die with money sitting there that could have helped poor Christians. Yes, give it only to Christians. That's what we see the early church doing. Argue with it all you want. I'm not giving. Well, I do give all the time to help the poor and the needy and then minister to them. Yeah, evangelistically. Anyway, so what are we going to do? The Bible says our riches that we have laid up are going to testify against us. I believe it's the 5th chapter of James on Judgment Day. If we stand before God and he talks to you because he knows every red cent that you have in your possession. And yet you lived high off the hog, went to bed at night, never worrying about any bills. Wouldn't that be nice? Most of us are like, yeah. But you didn't, and you had all of these different ministries around you that needed help. You didn't have to ask them. They shouldn't have had to ask you. And you sat there and left that money sitting there? Depart from me, you cursed and everlasting. I'm not going to pull any punches, man. You're going to hell. You claim you're walking with Jesus, and you could lay your dead head, your hardened heart, down at night and not care that the ministers of Christ have a morsel to eat or their rent is paid for the next 6 months? You make more on the interest of your money in a month than they bring in 5 years. And you're going to sit there and act like you're serving God when those people, you have no idea that they're in quiet desperation and don't even know where the next morsel of food is coming from. They don't know how they're going to pay their $50 or $100 light bill in their little apartment or something, whatever the case may be. You don't care, do you? No, they wouldn't have those problems if you cared and you were really walking with Jesus. It's time to get real, folks. Get on your face before a holy God before he cast your depraved, wicked soul into the bowels of eternal damnation irrevocably. You go read Luke 12 and 16. Those are Jesus's teachings. The rich man in Luke 16, he was rich on earth. Now he's in hell. He's been there 2,000 years ago. That was 2,000 years he's been in there at least. And that was a certain rich man, a literal person that lived. This guy's in hell and he was crying out there, you'll see, for one drop of water. How many drops of water did he get then and even all the way up till now? None, and he never will. He was tormented in this flame. And if you're listening to me and you got money sitting in accounts, investments, you need to repent. This is money that could have went to the kingdom of Christ and to furthering it. And therefore, there'll be people in hell and there'll be Christians that fall away because they weren't nourished enough and taken care of because you hindered the flow. You hindered the resources because you are serving the God of self. And so you pamper and comfort that God and layer yourself with what you think is safety. Luke 12, the guy increased his business, his investments. And so what did he do? He didn't give to the work of God. He built bigger barns to store it in. And God said, tonight, your soul is going to be required of thee. And what are these things going to do you then? You can't buy yourself out of hell, folks. You see, Jesus said that he was rich toward himself and not rich toward God. Get mad if you want. I don't care. That's the truth. So the liberal soul shall be made fat. Fat. Nobody wants to get fat physically. That's not really what he's talking about anyway. The liberal, that means the generous soul. God's going to bless them. And he that walk, isn't it interesting how it's always the people that are poor that do the giving? I can tell you by several decades in ministry that that's the case. And that's what Jesus encountered when at the end of, I believe it's Mark 12, he sat over against the treasury and all of these rich people threw in what amounted to to be a lot to most of us, like $1,000 or whatever. But Jesus knew every penny they had, and he was not happy with them at all. You know who he was happy with? The woman who gave 2 mites, that equals less than a penny. She gave all. God looks at percentages. So if you're out there and you're proud of yourself for giving $1,000, $10,000, $100,000, and you're sitting on lots of wealth that could be fueling the gospel laborers Jesus told us to pray for that God would send forth, and you're proud of yourself, you shouldn't be. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. Reciprocity. God sees you giving, and when you give, he's going to bless you. Now, again, I didn't say God's going to multiply every dollar you give by 10 or 20 or 100. Not, that's not even insinuated here. But your life is going to have a quality of blessing, and he is going to reward you forever in heaven. Jesus said, he did not say, don't lay up treasure. He just said, lay it up in heaven by giving to the kingdom. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Get it out there, guys. Seed does no good until it's put in the ground. I got a little list here. The Bible tells us that the sin of greed has a great price tag. Our sin of greed, that is, not being generous, has contributed to our own backsliding. And there's a bunch of references, Bible references, as you'll see in the print portion here. Let's skip through these, just about 5 or 6. Greed contributes to our own backsliding. In fact, the Bible says a greedy and covetous man is an idolater, and he will have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Ephesians 5, like verse 7 through 9, I believe. The second one, the untold suffering of those who minister the word. That's what is contributed to. This is a list of things that happen because people are greedy. The next one, your greed is attributable to or contributes to the apostasy of the church world, Malachi 3. Also, the decline of a nation. What about the book of Haggai, chapter 1 and 2? And God said his people built their own lavish comfort zones, sealed houses, but they didn't support his work. And he said there would be the curse of diminishing returns coming upon them because they're reaping what they sow. Read it, Haggai 1 and 2. In fact, you can look up the word Haggai on a search box on Safeguard, and we've got good materials on that topic in that particular instance of Haggai 1 and 2, very important chapters. Christian people are hindered, their needs. They greatly suffer when we're greedy. Also, ministries are unfunded, as we've already talked about. All right, let's skip that. We got so much on this topic. Let me read this to you as we close. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 14. Or I, Paul said, or I only and Barnabas, have we not power or the right to forbear working? Do we not have the right to cease our need to do secular work? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? In other words, I was a Marine. Many of you guys have been in the armed forces, and what a blessing that is. But any of you that went to war, did you get a bill back from the government when you came back to say, hey, here you go, it cost us, you know, $250,000 to, you know, transport you and sustain your life over there in Iraq. So here, go ahead and begin paying us back. Oh, no, indeed. No. You went as an ambassador for the United States of America, and therefore they funded your trip over there and everything about it. And they even paid you while you were there, right? We wouldn't think twice about that. Of course, that's how it's supposed to be. Well, it's the same thing with those that God calls out to do ministry. They shouldn't have to pay their own way. Then he says, and Paul is making a point here, and you're not going to get all of this the first time we read through it, but I encourage you to go back and read 1 Corinthians 9. All right, so he says, who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? In other words, you work, all of us work, either in ministry or in secular work, wherever God's called us during this season. And do you work for free, in other words? No, you don't work for free. Why would you even go in? The only people that have that to continue to work, even though they're working for free, are those called to the ministry. Because God ain't going to let you leave, right? If he still called you to be there. Doesn't mean you didn't want to leave a bunch of times. But who planteth a vineyard and eateth not or doesn't expect there to be fruit? You plant a seeds in your, of tomatoes or whatever, corn, in your backyard, on your farm, or on your land. You're expecting a crop, right? Right. When you go to work, you're doing it because you're expecting to get paid for it, right? Ministers are not outside of the realm of the Word of God. In fact, they're right in the bounds of it to expect that God is going to provide for them. They've answered his call. But how does God provide for them? He does it through giving people, all of his people, the opportunity to fund that ministry work, which is God's work, not ours. Remember, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, we, that's us plural guys, are laborers together with God. We all do our little part. And that's when things start happening. When the kingdom of Christ, the work of the kingdom, starts hitting on all cylinders and the fruitfulness, the momentum begins to increase. But there's got to be fuel in the tank. So we all get to participate. If you look at giving to ministry work as a burden, you completely miss the whole point. It's actually, again, your opportunity. Remember, 1 Chronicles 29:14, all things that we have come of thee. I believe it was David talking to the Lord. All things that we have, they came from you, Lord, and of thine own, he owns it all. We don't own anything. Of thine own have we given thee. Wow. So we take out of what God has given us and we put it where he says to put it. Or who feedeth a flock, he says here, like a shepherd, and eateth not the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? He's drawing this from the Old Testament. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Notice, you know what that means? Think about having a farm and running ox to do harvesting of your crops and tilling your land. How many farmers do you know? How smart would you think they would be to, this is funny, just think about it. I mean, not feed your ox, your animals. These animals are plowing the field. Why would you, shoot yourself in the foot by not feeding these animals and fueling them so they can keep doing that? If you don't feed them, they're going to die and they're not going to be able to do anything for you. That's just like having a car and not wanting to put gas in it. You get the picture? So how are the oxen, the servants of Christ, and that's all the called out elders of Christ are, is mere humble servants, if it's being done correctly and biblically, lifting up God and others above themselves. They aren't to be muzzled, guys. We're to feed them and make sure they're fueled well if we're wise. Doth God take care for oxen, then he says? Or saith it he altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth, the ministers of Christ, should plow in hope. They should expect that their bills are going to be paid. Double honor indicates that it's a little bit more. It's not a millionaire type lifestyle, but it's more than just having a bill paid. And why does God say double honor to those who labor? It's so much work involved. You guys in ministry know exactly what I'm talking about. So why does he say double honor? Well, it's obvious. He doesn't want those he's called out to do his work turning it over in bed at night and wondering how their bills are going to be paid. If you're not in ministry, you have no idea. I'm going to leave that alone, but you just would not believe how many sleepless nights people have that are called out by God because of the lack of participation of the body of Christ. He should plow in hope. What does that mean? Well, you can read some commentary on that. Seems like to me that he's saying they should have hope as his kingdom system is set up. It's even drawn from the Old Testament. It's pretty similar. That their bills are going to be paid. They can trust God. That people are going to participate because they're just doing their little part and each of us gets to do our little part. And that he that treadeth in threshes in hope should be partaker of this hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, he writes, is it a great thing if we shall reap carnal things? No. Notice this. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? In other words, listen, you pay plumbers, you pay the electric company, you pay the mortgage or the rental property company every month. How much more? There's no eternal value in that. How much more should you be making sure that the most important workers and work is being fueled, right? He puts a priority on the work of Christ there. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And again, you can look at that in Numbers 18, where the 11 tribes, 12 tribes of Israel, gave to the one tribe, Levite, the full-time ordained priest or ordained ministers of God, the ones God called out to serve him, to serve the people and to serve God full-time. And that's the same way it works here. And we're finishing up here. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. God bless you, saints. Didn't mean to go on for too long, but this is so much rich content on this topic. Check it out. Man, we hardly scratched the surface of the print version of this. I think you're going to find a lot of rich truth in that. Hope you'll share it. God bless you. And by the way, thank you so much for praying for the fruitfulness and the supply of this ministry. We love you. God bless you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.